Om Gana Timananda Shagaran Janashalakaya Chakshur and Minitam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in just a few words about Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishvara Pandit. Of course, Bhugarbha Goswami, little mentioned about him. He's the associate of Lokanath Maharaj, or Lokanath Goswami, and they both went to Vrindavan. Before the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he took sannyas. And Bhugarbha Goswami was formerly the gopi named Prema Manjari in Vrindavan. So Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami lived together in Vrindavan as one. They were actually completely, let's say, they were just like partners in devotional service. They were so affectionate to one another, it's described they were like one body. And they're regarded amongst the principal Goswamis of Vrindavan. So that's Bhugarbha Goswami. And it's Kashishvara Goswami too. Kashishvara Goswami is known as the the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's two godbrothers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were assisting him, and that's Govinda and Kashishvara Pandit. And it's interesting to note that there was some discussion as to whether Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should take service from his godbrothers. It's a very interesting etiquette aspect, because the injunction is that one should not take service from the godbrothers. One should take service from the juniors rather than from the godbrothers. However, Lord Chaitanya decided to take service from them, which seemed to go against the injunction. But actually, there was a higher principle. And the higher principle was that their spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, that is, the spiritual master of Govinda and Kashishvara, had ordered these two to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point is, the order of the spiritual master takes precedence over other items of etiquette. And that's about it. There's a lot of information here. We don't have time to read it because I want to go into Srimad Bhagavatam. They were sent to Jagannath Puri. I mentioned that already. They would walk in front of the Lord. Oh, another point is that Kashishvara Pandit was actually extremely strong. It's described that they would walk in front, Kashishvara Pandit and Govinda would walk in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to guard him from the crowds. And Kashishvara Pandit had a disciple named Govinda Gosai, who was a servant of the Govinda deity. Lord Chaitanya sent Kashishvara Pandit to Vrindavan to assist Srila Rupa Goswami, but Kashishvara Pandit did not want to give up the associate of the Lord in Puri. And so Lord Chaitanya understood that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sent Kashishvara Pandit to Vrindavan, gave him a deity which was identical with his very self. It's interesting. He gave him a deity of himself. And Kashishvara Pandit took that deity of Lord Chaitanya with him, and by serving and feeding that deity, he was solaced in his separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the Bhaktivedanta, it's mentioned that Kashishvara Pandit told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I cannot bear to leave you behind." And then the Lord gave him a deity, which we just heard about, which resembled practically exactly the Lord himself. Seeing that deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating all the offerings placed before him, in other words, Kashishvara Pandit saw the deity eating the offerings, and he experienced great ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya told him to call the deity Gaura Govinda. And taking that deity with him, Kashishvara Pandit went to Vrindavan. That deity sat to the left of the Sri Govinda deity in the temple of Govinda Dev, and in this way, wonderful service was performed with the pleasure of the Govinda deity. His disappearance today is today on the full moon day in the month of Ashvin, on the festival day which is also celebrated as the Maharas dance of Radha Govinda. Somehow or other, in our calendar, you have the Maharas of Radha Govinda tomorrow. Today is actually the last day of Kartik. Today is the full moon. His disappearance day is on the full moon.
But I'm just wondering,
Well, somehow or other, it says that it's the last day of Kartik, too. So, tomorrow's actually the full moon? All right. What can you do? People are very sophisticated. Anyway, so either it's today or tomorrow. So, tomorrow is the last day of Kartik, then. Okay, so we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmat, therefore, sarveshu, to all, bhuteshu, living entities, dvayam, mercy, kurta, show, sauradam, friendliness, bhavam, the attitude, asuram, of the demons, who separate friends and enemies. Unmucha, giving up. Yaya, by which? Tushiti, is satisfied. Adhoksajaha, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the perception of the senses. Translation. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. So you can repeat. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. That's interesting. He wants them to become preachers. That's interesting. His first instruction bracket he gives him is, you become preachers. Reminds me of Srila Prabhupada's instruction that he got from his spiritual master. Of course, Prabhupada wasn't demoniac, but it's just the first instruction he got from his guru was preach. Interesting. So purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 55, Bhaktimam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 69. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschen me priyakrita maha. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity, without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied, and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru, devotee, and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare deka tarika Krishna upadesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokamaheshram suradam sarvabhutanam yatvamang shantim nuchati. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sonadam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, everybody is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayana. If Narayana lives in the house of a Daridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayana becomes poor. He lives everywhere in the house of the poor and those of the rich, but in all circumstances he remains Narayana. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sad Aishwarya Purna, full of six opulences in all circumstances. So, Tasmat Sareshu Bhuteshu Dayam Kuru Taksauridam Bhutamasuram Mucha Yatushyat Yadhok Sajaha. So, Om Ganat Mananda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Militam Genetasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we see here that Srila Prabhupada is explaining what we talked about the other day, is that our process of self-realization is engaging in this Sankirtana, the preaching of Krishna consciousness. And we contrasted this the other day to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's presentation in the Jiva Dharma about this process of a Kadashi Bhava, you know, getting your... Anyway, just to tell you what happened in the Jiva Dharma, you have the different personalities who go to the guru, and the guru says, you know, basically, you know, what are you attracted to and how do you feel? And they say, well, I'm really attracted to the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, or another devotee, I'm really attracted to the coward boy relationship with Krishna. And then the guru gives specific instructions according to that understanding or according to the rasa of a particular individual. Not only instructions, but he gives him his, what he facilitates him understanding what he looks like in the spiritual world, his dress is, what his associates are. This is all called the Kadashi Bhava, the 11 aspects of someone's personality. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this extensively in the Jiva Dharma. And his son, Bhakti Sunanta Saraswati Thakur, presented a slightly different angle on the process of self-realization, or perhaps more than slightly different angle. He presented the... What's the music?
The truck backing up.
Oh, the truck's backing up. Oh, the dump truck. Okay, that's nice. Getting rid of the impurities in our heart. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he presented the angle that if you preach Krishna consciousness, then you'll automatically, as Prabhupada said in his Vrindavan Bhajan, the Nirjana Bhajan will automatically appear in the heart. So it's really interesting. It's a little bit different perspective on things. So that's the process that Prabhupada has given us. And in this particular verse, in the purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing that particular process of Krishna consciousness. However, okay, so sometimes people take that in a very external way. You know, just have to preach Krishna consciousness, and they don't do the internal thing. You know, they take it in an imbalanced way. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even in the Jiva Dharma, doesn't present it in an imbalanced way, because you also have the same people who are cultivating this stuff in their heart. I don't want to say stuff, but sorry about that. Cultivating their internal life in the heart. They're also preaching. So if you look at it from a wider perspective, you'll see they're both recommending the same thing. They're both recommending preaching Krishna consciousness, and you know, some of the details are different. But at the same time, being aware of what's happening in the heart, being introspective. So here, instructions are given by Prahlad Maharaj to give up demoniac tendencies or a demoniac nature. There's actually two different things. Demoniac tendencies are different than demoniac nature. Just like in an explanation of the qualities of something or of the nature of something, there's actually two different aspects. One is called, in Sanskrit, mukhya, and the other one is called gona. Mukhya means, you know, the essential nature of something, and gona means the secondary qualities that arise. And of course, that's also applied, these two words are also applied in relationship to Lord Chaitanya's advent in terms of the mukhya explanation or the gona explanation of his advent. In the mukhya explanation, you know, the internal explanation, the actual reason he appeared, was to understand the love that Radharani feels for him, to see himself from Radharani's perspective, and to enjoy that particular relationship from Radharani's perspective. That's mukhya. And then gona, you have propagate the Sankirtan movement. I mean, they're both important, but sometimes they're considered like primary or secondary. They're both considered very important. So the same thing, let's talk about demoniac nature, for example. So the gona, or the qualities of one who is in a demoniac nature, are listed by Krishna in the Gita. You know, someone who's demoniac is envious, proud, violent, angry. This is, of course, in the from the chapter of the divine and demoniac nature. And so these are like gona qualities, not mukhya qualities. Because the mukhya quality of someone, or the primary quality of someone who's demoniac, is they're not trying to please Krishna, they're trying to please themselves. And then the secondary qualities arise from the primary quality. Does everyone follow that? So therefore, when we're trying to deal, which Prahlad Maharaj is very intelligent, when trying to deal with the secondary qualities without dealing with the primary qualities, we're not going to be successful. Like if you say to someone, give up your enviousness. You know, let's say someone's envious or something like that, you know, someone's critical, or, you know, don't criticize anybody. It really doesn't change the heart of the person. You know, or if you point out to someone, you were envious, it doesn't really affect the person at all. Maybe they'll act in a little different way for some period of time, but the root of the problem is in the heart, not the external action. Does everybody understand this point? It's actually an important point. So, yes, we can be aware of the external qualities that indicate something internally that's happening. So Prahlad Maharaj here is actually giving the methodology to get rid of the demoniac qualities and the secondary qualities, which is to reach out to others, to see others as yastu sarvani bhutane atmane vanupashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatarna vigigupshati. That's from the Isupanishad, of course. To not have friends and enemies anymore, but basically to be compassionate to everybody, to see one underlying, which is what the Isupanishad says, to see one underlying spiritual nature with all living entities. And that's what you get from preaching Krishna consciousness. So this particular instruction that Prahlad Maharaj is giving, or the understanding that living entities have demoniac qualities and a demoniac nature, is not only applicable to those who are born in demoniac families like Prahlad Maharaj is talking to, but it's also applicable to people who have taken up Krishna consciousness. Because even though we have taken up Krishna consciousness and we're aspiring to be devotees, we have somewhat of a demoniac nature still, and we still have some demoniac qualities that are exhibited. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have Lord Kapiladev, who actually elaborates on demoniac qualities of devotees, or devotees in different modes of nature. He actually describes it from that particular paradigm. So, for example, he describes devotees in the mode of ignorance is similar to what Krishna describes in the Divine and Demoniac Nature chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, you know, devotees in the mode of ignorance are proud, arrogant, and he uses this term separatist also, which is really interesting. Separatist, of course, doesn't mean so much from a political perspective, but it means that they actually have separate interests other than the interests of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says they're arrogant, proud, conceited, they're angry, and they're harsh, which is really interesting, and they're ignorant. And then he goes through the passionate one. In the passionate one, they worship the deities. Not the worshiping the deities, passionate, but they're worshiping the deities for the idea of acquiring something for themselves. You know, and we see that sometimes when the deities are greeted, that people are more interested in having people appreciate how they dress the deities rather than how the deities look. You see that sometimes. I mean, we even had one time there was one pujari, the deities didn't look the way they liked. They ran outside and threw their bead bag away. So this is, you remember this? This is interesting. So anyway, so that's devotional service in the mode of passion. One who's interested in enjoyment, fame, pride, with similar qualities to the mode of ignorance. And even in goodness, there's a tinge of separatism or a separate interest in the interest of the Lord. Because devotional service in the mode of goodness is performed basically to liberate one from the material world, to get out of the suffering. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, sometimes we can use this motivation that's present in goodness to inspire people in Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada said, you should want to get out of the material world. You should want to get liberated. So it's a stepping stone. But those who are transcendentally situated, then they're worshiping the deities, and they're chanting the holy names. Spontaneously, in the description given by Lord Kapiladev, it's like their spontaneity is like the rivers rushing down, or the Ganges River, actually, he mentions in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, like the Ganges River rushing down into the ocean. It's just from the Lord's lotus feet. You know, the Ganges River washes the Lord's lotus feet. You have that verse there? Or?
I don't have it.
It's in the third canto. Yeah, so it's just like, it's just so spontaneous, and they're hearing and chanting and spontaneous. They just want to hear about Krishna just because they love Krishna. That's Vishuddha Sattva. So even in our Krishna conscious movement, I was thinking about this, we see these different qualities, and one of the primary things I see in someone who's influenced by these different qualities, which can be term demoniac. It's not that the persons are demons. I mean, we have to be careful about this. I mean, sometimes we see people acting in ways that are coming from a demoniac nature, but that doesn't mean they're demons. And I've seen sometimes the devotees, they will jump to the conclusion that some other devotee is demoniac or demon like that. And it's, of course, that's like calling or condemning the sinner rather than the sin. Like Jesus Christ said, you know, you should hate the sin, not the sinner. And sometimes in Krishna consciousness, because we like to designate people, well, then we start to hate the sinner rather than the sin. So it's a real big problem. So we should look in our own hearts. If, going back to what Prahlad Maharaj describes here, if we are actually seeing things in such a way in terms of friends and enemies, that's an indication the demoniac qualities are manifesting in our hearts. So how do we overcome that? I mean, of course, preaching and everything like that is mentioned here. But we can overcome that with bhakti towards not only Krishna, as my personal experience, but towards the spiritual master. I mean, so oftentimes in my own life, I feel like, you know, getting angry with someone or hateful towards someone or whatever. You know, it happens. We have to be honest about these things. So then I think in my mind or my heart or whatever, or my intelligence, that if Prabhupada was here, how would we want, what would Prabhupada say about this? You know, how would Prabhupada comment on my particular mentality or my particular act or desire to act in a particular way? Or how would Prabhupada want me to behave in such a circumstance? And then by imbibing the desire of the spiritual master, particularly a great liberated soul like His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we can actually act in a godly way. Even though we have this, you know, at least some nature there, you know, this envious pride. I mean, we just have to be introspective enough and admit it. I mean, it's easy to find fault in others. You know, it's very easy for me to say to someone, he is proud, or he is envious, or he is angry, or he is violent. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, and I'm often quoting him, that we see these faults in others because we ourselves are pockmarked with the same faults. So, but it's very hard to look within and see that, you know, I am acting, not that I am envious, I'm acting in an envious way. And so the way to counteract it, that is to think of the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, especially, like I said, as Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. In that way, we could always have Prabhupada with us. And, of course, you know, then, of course, we'll preach Krishna consciousness, we'll share it with others. But when you're preaching, you can't preach in an envious way either. We've seen that before. That some devotees would go out, you know, just like now, what is that, something, what is that expression they use? Is take it to the bone or something like that. You know, collect or something. Pick it to the bone. You know, so that's not preaching. You know, when you have that attitude towards anyone, pick it to the bone.
You really
push hard and get all the money you can from people.
It doesn't matter if you hurt somebody's feelings, just what I'm really, you know,
yeah.
Get everything.
So we have to be manifesting Prabhupada's compassion when we're talking to people. Even though we may not have it ourselves, I mean, even though, you know, talking about myself, of course, even though we're so self-centered and thinking about ourselves and other stuff like that, we have to think about how Prabhupada would want us to act, or Prabhupada would be feeling towards that particular individual, or pleasing Prabhupada. And that's what I attempt to do in order to, you know, overcome these qualities that are definitely manifest in the heart. So anyway, therefore, this is not, these instructions are not only meant, that Prahlad Maharaj is giving, to people who are born in, like, really demon families. I mean, one sense we could say, you know, our families were not exactly Krishna conscious, but they weren't like the demon families that Prahlad Maharaj's friends were born in, which are actual descendants of real demons in the higher regions of the universe. I mean, the Daityas and Danavas. Basically, we were born in families that were more or less bewildered or innocent, and they just didn't know any better. And so, you know, devotees should not go around looking at those who are not Krishna conscious as demons. That is actually a very bad consciousness to have. We should have the consciousness that there are brothers and sisters, and somehow or other they're bewildered. And those in the movement who are bewildered, you know, who may be attacking us for one reason or other, they are brothers and sisters. They're just struggling with their own issues, struggling with previous nature, you know, struggling with psychological issues, they're insecure, whatever. But we have to be very careful about denigrating people, especially Vaishnavas, because if we do denigrate Vaishnavas for having any of these qualities, we are committing an offense on chanting, the first offense on chanting, which is called the mad elephant offense, which is the most, in my mind, it's the most dangerous offense to commit. To offend, because then your bhakti lata bij becomes destroyed. So we have to be very careful. You know, we see a devotee with these qualities, fine. Understand that they're struggling and be their friend, like it mentioned here. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshram, like Krishna is the friend of all living entities. And then we can progress nicely in Krishna consciousness and overcome our own demoniac qualities that we are manifesting. We're not demons, we just have these qualities. So, any questions? Yeah.
So, I'm saying that we have to have great respect for everybody's mission as a devotee.
Yeah.
But we see that there is a certain person who is causing a great deal of upheaval within a community.
Hmm. Yeah. Lovingly. I mean, obviously, the situation has to be dealt with. You know, like, if some devotee is causing upheaval, and it happens sometimes, or distress in others, then one, we should be praying to Krishna for the intelligence how to deal with them so they don't discourage them and drive them away from Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada actually said, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it takes gallons of blood to make a devotee. So if in dealing with people we drive people away, the Prabhupada actually said also that if someone leaves, it's actually at least 50% our fault. So we have to be very, very cautious. It's like an operation. For example, I just know someone had an operation, not my mother, because that was a quick operation, but there was an operation that took like 10 hours. And the doctors had to just like very, very delicately do things. Because sometimes they say if the operation is not done properly, that the operation was a success, but the patient died. You know, that happens sometimes. Well, we removed the cancer, but you know, unfortunately, the anesthesia killed the guy. So I think everything has to be done lovingly. That's really the point. Interacting with the devotees, interacting with non-devotees. I mean, sometimes we have to chastise, but it has to be done with great care in those circumstances. So anyway, it takes some discrimination, which I'm not saying I have. So I need others. Sometimes when I deal with situations like that, I need others' help to give me talking points so I can do it.